We are approaching the All-Star break, which means Fantasy Week 17 is a short week, only 2 games maximum for your players, your fantasy players. We're going to help you set your lineup, although it might not be all that difficult next week, February 14th through the 20th. Today is February 10th. Adam Azer here along with Sergio Gonzalez. We welcome you to the Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Sergio, this is an interesting week. How do you approach it when you see Boston, Cleveland, Memphis, New York, Oklahoma City, Orlando, Toronto, Washington with only 1 game and the rest of the league with 2?
Well, definitely, it's definitely a week you want to do some easy math. If you've got a player playing 2 games, he's in most situations going to be worth starting over the player that's got 1 game. So it's very simple, as you said, to set your lineup this week. You're definitely going to want to look at the matchups on a more individual basis this week because you're talking about just 2 games for your fantasy options. So even when you're talking about a 2-gamer against another 2-gamer, you want to take a close look at the teams that they're going to be playing against this week because it's really there's not a lot of room for error in this shortened scoring period.
So would you bench guys like Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and Amare Stoudemire, Kevin Durant? Would you bench these guys for 2 start options?
I would absolutely consider it this week, but it depends on the options you have. I wouldn't put it this way. I wouldn't rest the Paul Pierce if I'm starting Corey Brewer or something like that that's got 2 games. It would depend on my options, but if I'm choosing between Paul Pierce and, say, I'm looking at somebody for Houston, Indiana. It depends on the player. Let's just put it that way. It depends on the player.
Paul Pierce or Randy Foy?
Randy Foy with 2 games. Randy Foy. There's a good one.
All right. How about Amare Stoudemire or Kenyon Martin?
Martin's not there yet. If Martin was a little bit healthier, I would go with Martin, but he's not healthy enough yet for me.
How about Haydu Turkoglu or CJ Miles? Turkoglu 1 game, Miles 2.
CJ Miles. See, that's a great one. That's a great one. So, again, the same way Adam's going down the lineups and schedules and looking at these things, that's what fantasy owners should be doing this week. Don't get too attached to the big names this week.
I want to bring up Marco Bellinelli. He's been playing well the last couple of games, and he's got 2 games this week. Maybe that's a guy you could throw in your lineup.
Absolutely, and if you're looking for a stopgap option off the waiver wire, if you've got that one stud who's playing just 1 game, you might want to take a look at a guy like Marco Bellinelli. Somebody might just pick up for 1 week and drop him right after that, but this is a week to maybe be a little bit more aggressive than usual.
How about Jeff Green for 1 game or Tyler Hansbrough for 2?
You know what? Hansbrough. I'm going to go with Hansbrough. He's getting more minutes by the game. He's getting steady numbers in rebounding and blocks. I'm going to go with Hansbrough.
How about Kendrick Perkins for 1 game or Chuck Hayes for 2? Hayes coming off back-to-back double-doubles.
Definitely Chuck Hayes for 2. Definitely Chuck Hayes for 2 coming off the double-doubles. And the matchups he has next week are pretty good. Denver and Philadelphia. I think he's going to do some damage.
But what about I just want to pick them up long-term, Perkins or Hayes right now?
Ooh, that's a close one. I'm going to say Perkins because he has more upside as a rebounder, and I think potentially the return of Brad Miller at some point, once he's healthy, could cut into the playing time of Chuck Hayes. I like them both. They're pretty even, but I think Perkins and his track record, especially from last season, I think you take the more established player, and that's Perkins.
Perkins or Kwame Brown? Brown has 2.
For next week. Brown has 2.
Perkins is 1.
There you go. Got to go with the extra game. Don't get too attached to Perkins and his name.
John Wall for 1. Let's stick with the guy who has 1, Ramon Sessions. Wall or Sessions?
Both with 1?
Yeah.
Wall or Sessions?
Sessions is playing well.
He is. You know what scares me about them is that there is a threat that Mo Williams could be back. So I'm going to go with John Wall.
Okay. Is there anybody in the 2 games category that you would start over Kevin Durant for just 1 game?
In the 2-game category...
Odom or Durant?
You know what? Odom, I would.
Really?
Odom, I would. Odom, because I think he can do enough across the board that over the 2 games, he can outscore Durant. The problem with Durant is he can do in 2 games what a lot of players, good players out there, can't do in 1.5. So it's tricky. It's definitely going to take a higher-end player to replace Kevin Durant this week.
Bellinelli for 2 or Durant,
No, I'm still taking Durant.
Okay. Let's not get crazy. Sergio breaks down who has the favorable matchups, who has the poor matchups. Dallas, Milwaukee, Oklahoma City, Utah, and the Clippers have favorable matchups. Poor matchups, Toronto, Washington, New York, Cleveland, Memphis. That's mostly because they have just 1 game, but Charlotte, Chicago, Detroit, Indiana, the Nets, and the Spurs, teams that have poor matchups in terms of fantasy, those teams play two games. So Charlotte, Chicago, Detroit, Indiana, New Jersey, San Antonio. Who's a fringe guy that you're sitting this week?
On Toronto specifically, I think DeMar DeRozan, who's been doing wonders for fantasy owners offensively, have been able to, like, fantasy owners have been able to get a lot from him in the last month or so because he's been benefiting from the absence of Leandro Barbosa, who is expected to be back. Plus, you're looking at a matchup against just the Miami Heat. So we're probably going to look at a game against Miami where Toronto's just going to scrape together 90 points or so. DeMar DeRozan isn't going to have one of his better games. You're going to get plenty from him in the future. This week, I just don't think he's a great start.
Well, it is the All-Star break coming up. We got another week before we see that, but we want to look at some of the winners and some of the losers since draft day. Just in terms of draft value, who has outperformed their draft value, who has underperformed according to where they were drafted. And we're going to start out with the losers. Brook Lopez headlines your draft day losers, Sergio.
Yeah, he'd built up so much fantasy steam last season in a breakout second year for him. He was able to basically put his name up there among the elite fantasy centers, and he hasn't been able to follow up on that. A lot of that has been his relationship with Coach Avery Johnson. He's been basically accused of being a weak physical player who isn't going to go out there and do what he has to do to get a lot of rebounds. We've seen that basically play itself out on the in the box scores on a night-in, night-out basis, but I do anticipate he can be a player who, once Avery Johnson and Brook Lopez are on the same page, can return to the form he had last year. Right now, we haven't seen that, and he's a player who was drafted in the second round in a lot of leagues.
Yeah, I remember sitting there in the second round, at the end of the second round, waiting for him to fall to me, and I was so mad he got taken the pick before me. I ended up taking Andrew Bogut instead.
And you aren't mad now.
No, I am not mad. I got lucky there. Brandon Roy is another loser, and we should talk about Brandon Roy because he said he wanted to return this weekend, and we record this on Thursday. He was looking at either Friday or later on in the weekend. His coach, not so sure. Big time loser from draft day.
Yeah, we might be being a little harsh here because of his situation is obviously just based off the two bad knees that he's been dealing with.
He's a fantasy loser,
Sergio.
He is a fantasy loser.
We're being a little rough here, but he was drafted, another player who's drafted in late in the first round in some leagues, mostly in the second round in most standard formats. Unfortunately, he hasn't been able to live up to that fantasy value because of the injuries. But this is something that's been eye-opening with him because his first three seasons in the league, he's been a very injury-prone player. And while the potential is clearly there for him to be one of the elite fantasy producers at his position, the health just doesn't seem to be here for him. And it seems like this the arthroscopic knee surgery that he had this year on both knees, he's had surgeries on each knee, are going to prevent him from living up anywhere close to the fantasy draft value that he had coming into the season, even if he does return for the second half. And as Adam mentioned, he's getting close to a return. But the Trailblazers are very cautious to not bring him back too soon, given his history. He's probably not going to be back until after the All-Star break. And when he does return, it's probably going to take him a little while to get back into the groove. He's probably not going to be asked to do much, not play more than about 20 to 25 minutes initially. And he's really going to have to establish himself and show that he can be trusted for more playing time than that, which is not a given. So Brandon Roy has definitely fallen well short of expectations.
Yeah, it's a shame. We all want to see him healthy. He's actually on our most added list. He's up 6% from this week to next week, up from 87% to 93%. So he is not available in a lot of your leagues, only 7%. But people obviously saw the news that he was thinking about coming back, and they searched their league, and the ones who were lucky enough to have him as a free agent or on waivers, they were able to pick him up, and now he is owned in 93% of leagues. Interested to see what happens. I don't think he's going to perform like a guy who should be owned in 93% of leagues.
No.
But he is Brandon Roy, so I understand you're taking the shot for the upside. Some of the winners on your list from draft night, Derrick Rose, start with him. Derrick Rose has been great.
Well, Derrick Rose is a player who was drafted in the mid to late second round of most fantasy drafts this year, or late first round in some leagues. But next year, if we were redrafting right now, he'd be a top five pick without a doubt. And he's only going to continue to get better. Derrick Rose has done so much to improve some of the areas that were weaknesses for him coming into the season. Somewhat in his free throw shooting, his shooting percentages, his scoring has gone way up.
Well, his shooting percentage is down. His 3-point percentage
is up.
Yeah, it's weird that his 3-point percentage would be up and his shooting percentage would be kind of low. I think it's around 42, 43%.
The thing is, he's definitely taking more shots than he has at any point in his brief career. And that's going to be something. He's shown that he can improve upon his weaknesses. So he's only going to continue to get better as he goes. He's one of those rare point guards that can do really more as a scorer than even as a distributor. But what he does in assists alone, he can get you around 8 to 9 assists on a regular basis, along with around 20 to 25 points per game. So that's hard to get anywhere, even when you're looking at the likes of a Deron Williams, who's established himself as perhaps the top overall point guard in fantasy, even beating Chris Paul in a lot of instances.
I forgot one of the losers, by the way. We'll get to him later. But Blake Griffin is obviously on your list of winners. I really wanted to get Blake Griffin and John Wall. I was not sure when to draft Blake Griffin.
That was the thing with Blake Griffin.
You know, I didn't end up with him in any leagues.
Exactly. And I think Greg Oden's situation in the last couple of years has really scared off a lot of people when it came to Blake Griffin. Nobody knew if he was going to be able to bounce back the way he has coming off missing his entire rookie season. But we've seen what we've seen from him this year has really piqued everybody's interest. He's going to be perhaps another top five pick next season. If you were drafting right now, who would you draft, Derrick Rose or Blake Griffin first?
Blake Griffin.
I probably would too. And Derrick Rose is definitely going to be a top five pick. So we're probably talking about Blake Griffin being maybe among the top four picks in all fantasy hoops next season.
And you know what's interesting?
What's that?
That free throw percentage.
Yeah.
It kills you.
It does.
And maybe I would take Rose over him.
But you know where he's sneaky is? He's a premier rebounder and a premier scorer. And his assist numbers aren't bad for a big guy. He can actually get you around 4 to 5 assists, which has been something that none of us expected. So if you're talking about maybe 24 points per game, 12 rebounds per game, and also 5 assists, you're getting up there in the elite airs of fantasy players.
Yeah, and I actually think the free throw percentage will get better.
Absolutely.
He's still learning, working on his jump shot. Like Dwight Howard's never going to have a 17-footer.
No.
Blake Griffin will.
Yes.
So that means his free throw percentage, I think, will go up.
Absolutely.
I still think I would take him over Derrick Rose, but I'd be happy with either guy.
Yeah.
And Kevin Love is a winner for you. And the guy, I think he's at 38 double-doubles in a row right now.
Franchise record for the Minnesota Timberwolves. He's a player who, another player who's drafted well below the numbers that he's producing. He was drafted in the 4th or 5th round in a lot of leagues, and the guy's a double double every night. He can get you in the neighborhood of 15 rebounds, and it's not anything out of the ordinary. That's the type of rebounder that he is. We've heard some NBA legends come out this year and say he's probably one of the premier rebounders of this era already, and he's only done it one season. He's only going to continue to get better. We love the Minnesota system in terms of fantasy value. It may not get the Minnesota Timberwolves a lot of wins, but we see the box score. We don't care about that. Unless you're a Timberwolves fan out there, we don't really care. It gets the numbers high. I mean, the Minnesota Timberwolves box scores on a nightly basis look like something out of one of those EA Sports video games.
Yeah.
It is ridiculous. As long as Kurt Rambis is there, Kevin Love is going to continue to get a high volume of shot attempts to go along with that premium rebounding.
And if you are a Timberwolves fan, I'm a Knicks fan and he's a Nets fan, so we still don't care.
Exactly.
We still have absolutely no sympathy for you.
We're in the same boat.
Welcome to the club. You've been in the club for a little while now. Okay, I want to move on, but before we do that, one more loser that we were going to talk about, Aaron Brooks. I was hesitant to bring Aaron Brooks up because I didn't want you to take your headset off and leave before the end of the show, a la Aaron Brooks, but he's a loser right now. Is there any potential for his trade, for his value to go up?
Yes, I actually do think that some of these losers, with the exception of maybe Brandon Roy, there is the potential that they could great buy-low candidates, because that potential that made them so highly valued coming into the season is still there for differing reasons. They haven't been able to live up to that value. In the case of Aaron Brooks and Brandon Roy, some of that's been due to injuries. Brooks now, because of the injury, since he's been back, he hasn't been able to regain the role that he's liked, because unfortunately while he was out, a player like Kyle Lowry stepped up and did wonderful things for the Houston Rockets. So he's having a tough time just beating out that guy. So he's obviously very frustrated about that. But eventually, I think he's in the long term, if the Houston Rockets really just took a look at things, Brooks is more valuable than Kyle Lowry. I know what Kyle Lowry's been able to give you right now has been decent, but Brooks has more upside, especially as a scorer, than Kyle Lowry does. And I think what Brooks can get back to is the numbers that he had last year that made him so appealing. He can score around 20 points per game and get you around 6-7 assists on a regular basis. He has that upside still. It's in there somewhere. He's got to get back to his role, and that's going to take him probably being a lot more mature than he has been recently.
We're going to talk injuries, most added, most dropped, and get to some emails and tweets. Before we do that, I want to talk about the Dallas Mavericks again. We discussed J.J. Barea on Monday's show, but he had 20 points on Wednesday in just 22 minutes. So, again, he's owning 12% of leagues, and now Peja Stojakovic starting owning 14% of leagues, but Stojakovic off to a very slow start.
Yes.
So is there anybody who's – look at these two guys, 12% and 14%. They're obviously out there and available that you could see having a big second half. And I still think there's a void to be filled there on the perimeter for the Mavericks. And, of course, we'll throw Boba's name in there too.
Yes.
I know we talk about Dallas a lot.
Yes.
But this is a premier team, and I just feel like there's some hidden fantasy value, maybe a guy you can pick up and get some surprising production from.
Yes, and the Mavericks are in flux right now. There are some changes going to be coming ahead, especially right after the All-Star break. Page is in the starting lineup, but remember that before he started these couple of games for the Mavericks, he hadn't played since November for the Toronto Raptors, and he'd been dealing with some knee issues. So be patient with him. Eventually, he's the one that Rick Carlisle wants to take on that role that was left by Caron Butler's injury. So Peja Stojakovic, once he gets into the swing of things, I think he's going to be attempting around 10 to 13 shots per game, 6 or 7 of those shots probably from beyond the arc, and he's going to be a guy that can get you multiple threes once he gets going. Barea is getting a chance right now because Boubois is still not ready, because Stojakovic is still not ready. We've seen him in spurts throughout his brief career be able to play, show these pockets of being a decent scorer. But unfortunately, when that team is healthy, he moves down the pecking order. And I think that's probably what's going to happen with him. Take advantage of him in the short term. And just looking ahead at Week 17, the Mavericks are the team we think have the most favorable matchups. They're going to be playing against Sacramento, Phoenix. Page is not ready yet. Boubois is not going to be ready yet. You could take advantage of Barea in the short term.
Sure.
In the long term, you're probably going to want to look at Peja Stojakovic, and even Boubois, who last year, when he was healthy, showed he could be a reliable source of mid-teen scoring for the Mavericks off the bench.
Looking at these injuries, Stephen Curry, Eric Gordon, Al Horford, Joakim Noah. What do we need to know?
Well, Steph Curry, he continues. He's been unable to avoid the injury bug all season. Right now, he's dealing with another tweaked ankle. It's the same ankle that he continues to tweak, but he's been able to play through it. So as long as he continues to bounce back, the numbers are there. Continue to start him.
Eric Gordon.
Eric Gordon, it looked like he was going to come back this week after the Clippers had ruled him out through the All-Star break, but he traveled with the team. The team sent him right back to L.A. where he was reevaluated. He's not going to be back for at least another week, possibly two.
Okay, that means Randy Foy, who had a huge game on Wednesday, is still a good option. Al Horford.
Al Horford dealt with some back spasms that held him out on Monday. It was only supposed to be a day-to-day thing. He was expected to be back on Wednesday, but he was scratched late again on Wednesday. So it's something to monitor, definitely, especially with the Atlanta Hawks having just the limited two-game scoring period in the upcoming week. Monitor that through the weekend.
Joakim Noah.
Joakim Noah is back on the practice court. He's taking some contact, but he's not yet able to take contact directly on the thumb. Coach Thibodeau said that as soon as he's able to prove he can take contact on the thumb, he's going to get right back on the court. I'd expect him back for the first game right after the All-Star break.
Most added, most dropped players. Number two on our most added list is Christian Ayanga of the Cleveland Cavaliers, up from 4% to 16%. And then Ramon Sessions, sorry, Sergio, is number eight, up to 83%. He's playing very well.
Yeah.
Ayanga and Sessions.
Yeah, these are two players that are benefiting from the absence of Mo Williams and Daniel Gibson. Gibson's back. He hasn't been healthy enough to really retake his role yet, but that's coming, possibly within the next scoring period. So I think Ayanga is probably going to drop off more significantly than Ramon Sessions is. Sessions has proven he can play well behind those two off the bench, and he's one of those combo guards who can do a lot for the Cavaliers as a point guard and as a shooting guard. So he'll be able to buy more minutes than Ayanga. I like Ramon Sessions more.
Yeah, absolutely. Sessions has been very good. And Kendrick Perkins is number 10 on the most added list, and we talked about him. He's up to 61% ownership. Solid guy. Not necessarily a great week for him, but long-term, We like him.
Yeah, he's another player that, again, you have to consider. He's coming off a devastating knee injury that he suffered last year in the finals. He's only just now getting back into the mix. He's playing more probably now than he should be because Shaquille O'Neal and Jermaine O'Neal are out. And Sammy Erden is also banged up. So the Celtics have absolutely nobody to play at center. That's why they're giving him minutes. Once he gets back into the thick of things, he's a player that can get you a double-double on a nightly basis. So be patient with him. I like him in the short term as well just because he's being force-fed minutes.
Yeah, Lakers-Celtics tonight. Very, very excited for that. Looking at the most drop list, Luke Ridnour, number two, down from 70% to 63%. And then we'll talk about Chris Humphries after that. But Luke Ridnour, Sergio.
Johnny Flynn has been able to prove that he's ready to take on a bigger role, which is probably going to mean bad things for Luke Ridnour once he does get back. He's dealing with a very personal matter right now. He had to leave the team because his wife had complications after giving birth to their twins. Hopefully things will be all right there. But once he does get back, it looks like Luke Ridnour is probably looking at a reduced role. So the other player you talked about, Chris Humphries, we heard Coach Avery Johnson say that Derek Favors is going to have more plays designed for him. So they're going to be looking to get something out of that rookie for the remainder of the season, with the Nets having absolutely nothing to play for. They just want to get something out of Derek Favors, which could mean bad things for Chris Humphries.
I like that, though, getting something out of Favors.
Yeah.
So his fantasy value might be a guy you can buy low on.
Exactly.
Pick up.
Exactly. He's definitely going to get minutes. He's very raw. He's had trouble staying on the court because of foul trouble. But if he can avoid that, the Nets look like they have intentions of getting some value out of him.
So we want to look at some writer feedback and some emails that Sergio has received recently. Our email address is dmfantasyhoops@cbs.com. dmfantasyhoops@cbs.com. David in Canada. I offered LeBron James for Jason Kidd and Dwight Howard. 12-team head-to-head, 8 categories. Giving up LeBron James, getting Jason Kidd and Dwight Howard.
You know, we actually had a Grade the Trade video this week where there were a couple of trades involving the likes of LeBron James. I usually advise against giving up who is potentially the number one overall player in fantasy hoops again in LeBron James. But he does get back a lot here, especially if in a category league. He gets production across the board in LeBron Jason Kidd, and he also gets Dwight Howard, who is a premium producer in rebounds and blocks. He can win you those two categories almost by himself. It's a viable trade. If we're grading trades like we do on the video, I'd give this one a B-, but
okay.
It's a good trade. It's a good trade.
Next up is, no name, Paolo, sorry. Great job in your waiver wire articles. Love them, Sergio. That, along with your Monday chats, have really put me in the running. Oh, this is your biggest fan, Sergio.
Thank you, Paolo.
Can you grade this trade? My Wesley Matthews for his Trevor Ariza. What do you think? With Roy back, and I'm kind of thinking Ariza is buy low now, could have maybe more production across the board than Matthews. So he's giving up Wesley Matthews, getting Trevor Ariza.
I like his thinking. I think it's probably too early to make that move. Brandon Roy, once he gets back, I really do think it's going to take him a while to get back to even a level where he can play 25 to 30 minutes per game. So I think Trevor Ariza isn't special enough, in my opinion. I know he can produce across the board, but he's not a good scorer. He's not a great rebounder. He just does a little bit of everything. Whereas Wesley Matthews, potentially, say Brandon Roy suffers another setback or he is not ready to take on even a decent role, could provide a lot more value than a Trevor Ariza, who is actually a player that you might be able to match his production off the waiver wire. So I'm going to hang tight with Wesley Matthews, at least until I see what Brandon Roy can do.
Yeah, guys, look, Brandon Roy, it's not like he's coming back and staying.
Exactly.
Back.
He's not going to be Brandon Roy. He's going to be
exactly. And Wesley
Brandon.
Matthews is good.
Absolutely.
He's not just going to go away
right.
Because Brandon Roy is there.
Correct.
Last one comes from Peter H. Peter says, I'm sixth in my 10-team Roto League, and I decided to shake things up a bit. I gave up Chris Paul, Steven Jackson, J.J. Redick, and Brandon Bass. Giving up Chris Paul, Steven Jackson, J.J. Redick, and Brandon Bass.
That's a lot.
For Danny Granger, Al Jefferson, David West, and Jason Terry.
That's also a lot.
Was it a good deal?
I think it was. I don't know. Did he say where he was in his Roto League?
Sixth in my 10-team Roto League.
Yeah, I guess it is time. We're getting the All-Star break. Sometimes fantasy owners have the misnomer of thinking it's the halfway point. The All-Star break is not the halfway point. We're past that.
Yeah.
So I think it is crunch time that he can make a move like that. And he got plenty back. He's getting players like Danny. Who did he get? Danny Granger?
He got Granger, Jefferson, West, Terry.
All yeah, must start to
like,
Roto League.
I like this trade. You're giving up Paul, but you know, Brandon Bass, Redick, Jackson.
Yeah. No, I like this move.
They might be the three worst players in this deal.
Yeah. No, I like this move.
With Granger, Jefferson, West.
It's going to take a lot to get a guy, to get all those guys, and he had to give up Chris Paul, but it's a good move. And fantasy owners out there, it's time to start making moves. It's not the halfway point in the fantasy season.
Who do you like better, Jason Terry or Steven Jackson?
If Steven Jackson were Steven Jackson, I'd like Steven Jackson. But right now, he's very flaky. Jason Terry, you know what you're going to get out of him, especially in category leagues with what he does in three-point shooting.
Sure.
So Jason Terry.
That's Sergio Gonzalez. I'm Adam Azer. We'll be back on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. Send us an email, dmfantasyhoops@cbs.com, and send Sergio a tweet at CBS Gonzalez, G-O-N-Z-A-L-E-Z. See ya.